Good morning again. Our scripture passage this morning is in Psalm 86, and it's verses 9 and 10. And would you stand with me in honor of the reading of God's word? All the nations you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Thank you. You may be seated.
Well, happy Resurrection Sunday. I cannot let Greg have the only say, but he is risen. Yes. We do this every Sunday. We celebrate the resurrection of Christ. It is the Lord's Day. And yet, we recognize that today is just a day where we get to be a little bit more hyper-focused on the hope that's set before all people. And so, it's Resurrection Sunday. Sin reigned. The power of sin has been put to an end, and there has been no other name given to men by which has demonstrated the power over sin and death. And that name is Jesus Christ. My aim this morning is simple, and it should be because of the day in which we find ourselves. It should be stated clearly, plainly, and at my hope, convictionally. Why did Jesus raise from the dead? Be careful. For as you respond in your own mind and even in your own heart, it has been the habit of humanity since the very beginning to take that which God has done and flip it on its head for one's own name's sake. Why did Jesus raise from the grave? For his name's sake, not ours. Let me explain. The statement for one's name's sake is to take that which is given to you to make a name for oneself. God has been very clear since the beginning of creation and time itself that everything that he has done has been not for your name's sake, but for his name's sake. The reason why I chose a passage to be read this morning, which you might not find read on a Resurrection Sunday, is the theme of Scriptures, which declare that everything that God has done has been for his glory. And so I read it again. All the nations you have made shall come. They shall come because they have not yet come, but they will. And when they come, they will worship before you, O Lord, and they shall glorify your name, for you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. I think I've already answered the question. We can go home. No. I just want to stress this point so that as we go fellowship with friends and family, as we go back into our workplaces, into our schools, the danger of a heightened day of understanding the hope before everyone is to make it merely a day of acknowledgement. That's not worship. To acknowledge what God has done in the past is not worship, nor is merely to remember. God's aim isn't to do things in such a way that as we look now into the past and remember his accomplishments, that's not worship. Worship is entirely more than that. Christ rose from the grave not for more merely our acknowledgement, nor for us to remember, but he rose from the grave so that by his name all the nations would proclaim his name, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. That's the aim of God. And historically, humanity has used that which God has created for our own name's sake. Let me ask you another question. Why did God create anything? What was the point? In the very beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. As the scriptures themselves declare, in Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky proclaims his handiwork. Verse 3, they do this without a voice. There is no speech, nor are there words, whose voice is not heard. And so every sunrise and every sunset, humanity gets to observe the invisible power, the eternal power of God, in his divine nature, that he is not only awesome, he is incredibly creative. And creation does this without saying a thing. Why did God create creation? For his name's sake. So that the creation itself, without voice, could say how awesome the Creator is. And though it did not have a voice within God's creation, he created a creature with a voice. And that creature is humanity. And so when humanity sees the created order, it fulfills the intended desire and design of God. As Psalm 8:1 or 8:9 says, it says, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Why did God create creation? For his name's sake. Why did he create you? For his name's sake. And yet, we know in the very beginning, as Genesis 1:27, because he's creator, he gets to define the creation and the means by which we live. And so in Genesis 1:27, God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. And it wasn't long for man to exchange the primary role of living and exploring God's creation and declaring the glories of God before all creation as an act of worship. That's not only seeing his creation, observing his creation, but also reflecting God's nature before everything as an act of worship. This is why I feed my dog. For as I feed my dog, I reflect what God does for me. He provides me my daily bread. And as an act of worship, I reflect the very nature of God to dogs. And that is not done for my name's sake, but for the dogs to understand the one who takes care of all things for his name's sake. But we exchange that standard. It doesn't take long when you get to Genesis chapter 11 after the fall of man, who takes God's creation in his glories and say, we can use what God has made for our own name's sake. So in Genesis chapter 11, the nations gather together in an act of rebellion, and they said, let us make a name for ourselves. And that's been the pattern of all of history. We go outside and we don't even think about God, because everything that we are doing is for our name's sake. Why did God create creation? Why did Jesus raise from the grave? So that we might know there is no other name. Man strives to make a name. God is the name. And as the one created to represent the name above all names, humanity has rebelled. God does not want us to gather today to merely acknowledge and to remember. No, his aim is our worship. I acknowledge gas stations. I pass them every day. In my mind, I think of the Maverick, because it's usually a little bit cheaper than every other gas station. But that is not what God wants us to do. He is not a gas station. For while I appreciate gas stations, I go to them only when I have need of them. And so is what humanity has done in light of God. We go to Him merely when we need Him. We acknowledge His existence, and in our journeys to make a name for one's sake, while when we come to the capacity in which we could do so, it is at that point we go to God and say, "Help." But when we find what we need, when He responds to our request, we leave Him like the gas station. That is, brothers and sisters, why we are not what we are here not to do today. Acknowledging God and then going back into our lives simply because we have got what we have needed is not worship. Nor is it to remember. God has not created creation so that as we go into it to remember, my children do not know, well, maybe they do, a phone booth. A phone booth, if you remember, is a thing in which held a phone. Today we can put the phone in the pocket, but there once was a day, I know, when you didn't and couldn't fit it within your pocket. And so today, you don't see phone booths. In fact, the majority of them are gone. But if you have the chance to see a phone booth, you remember a time in which when it was needed. And how you used to carry quarters around, and when your parents needed you to call, you had something, the means by which you could go to. But we have evolved, haven't we not? And so has the phone booth. It is now in the pastest distance. God doesn't want to be remembered as something that once was. And through our society's evolution, we no longer need Him. So we don't gather today, as some people might, just to remember His accomplishment. And now we have progressed to a point where we don't need Him. The point of the resurrection and of Jesus Christ is not that we remember Him or merely acknowledge Him. It is so that we continue to worship Him. Abraham, in the midst of his nation and society that was striving to make a name for himself, God, rich in His mercy, as He observed humanity use the image contrary to His design, chose Abraham. Why did God choose Abraham? He was literally a man with no name. He comes from a father who had no name and no reputation, and then Abraham, in the worst possible sense, had no potential to make a name for himself. Why? Because his wife was barren. And we learn in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, who makes the name of a person. And going to the man with no name, the Lord said to Abraham, "Go. Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and so that you will be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you and him who dishonors you, and I will curse those who dishonor you, I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Abraham, having no name, found through the grace of God the one who can make a name, as he entrusted himself to the name above all names. Why did God create creation? To make for his namesake, the opportunity to demonstrate his glories. Why did he create humanity? For his own namesake. Why did he choose Abraham, married to a woman who was barren, and waited until her 90s to fulfill the promise that she bear a son? For his namesake. The son of Abraham is called Isaac, and she called Isaac Isaac because in Genesis 21:6 it means laughter. And Sarah admits, God has made laughter for me, and everyone who hears will laugh over me. As you read the scriptures, just as we have read in Psalm 86, the intent of God in everything that he has done has been the purpose for his name's sake. You exist, I exist, not to make a name for oneself, but to know the name above all names and declare his greatness. And entrust yourself. When Abraham and Sarah, after 20 years of waiting for the promise to be fulfilled, and got the child, do you know what they responded in? Not mere acknowledgement, not mere remembrance, worship. Which meant they fully entrusted themselves to the one who can do all things. You get to make the rules for our lives now. Because you can do that which we cannot. And so we declare what we could not do, but you could do. Your name is great. And God was gracious and faithful to the days of even Abraham to produce a nation from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In the days in which there was a great famine, the family of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had to go to Egypt. And there, God let Pharaoh imprison and enslave the nation of promise through whom the world would be blessed to slavery for 400 years. Why? Why would God allow a nation to be enslaved for 400 years as the name of Pharaoh became the highest name upon the earth? Well, when you read the scriptures and you'll see the aim, God in the days of Moses, his intent to enslave the nation under Pharaoh for 400 years was with this one purpose, so that his name, the Lord's name, Exodus 9:16, may be proclaimed in all the earth. When Moses was asked to go deliver these people out of Israel, or out of Egypt, the Lord came to Moses, said, "I am the name above all names. Moses, go to Pharaoh and deliver them out." Do you remember what Moses said? "I'm a nobody, a man with no name." Exodus 3:12. "Come, as the Lord said, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." Verse 11, but Moses said to God, "Who am I, nobody with no name like Abraham, that I should go to Pharaoh who has a name and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I? Pharaoh will find out. You will find out." What was the point of 10 plagues? So that his name may be proclaimed through all the earth. The greatest miraculous event of salvation described in the Old Testament is the Red Sea creation, the Red Sea crossing. It's the theme. It is the theme. Why did God create creation? Why did he create you? Why did God come before Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, the slaves of Egypt, and deliver them out so that the whole world knows that there is a name above all other names, and it's the Lord. And so he purposely, after the 10 plagues, brought out the nation in which he delivered from the 10 plagues, by means of the 10 plagues, to the Red Sea, purposely cornered them. And when the nation saw Pharaoh's heart change and come and corner them, water in front and Egypt behind, it was God's plan that they find themselves there. That Moses said to the people as they want to go back, Moses says in Exodus 14, 13 through 14, "Fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you." He'll do that which you cannot do for yourself. Though you may want to make a name for yourself, today the Lord will show that he is the name above all names. And you have only to be silent. Why did Jesus raise from the grave? Do you remember what Israel did after the Red Sea crossing? Brothers and sisters, they did not merely acknowledge it. God's not a gas station. You go to him when you need him. They did not merely remember, okay, God's powerful, so now we're past this like a phone booth. God's not a phone booth. No, they worshiped him. And worship is not mere acknowledgement or remembrance. Worship, like the nation of Israel, God, we entrust ourselves entirely to you. From this point on, you're in charge. You're the name above all names. And we will declare your name to the nations. And as they became a nation, there were those who rebelled. And there are those who still hoped in that name. Why is the story of David and Goliath written for us? As Goliath came out and mocked the name of the Lord, we remembered the story. I will not recant or retell all of it, but simply what the boy entrusted himself in an act of worship. He did not remember merely as an historical event or acknowledge God as a gas station, which when he walked in worship. And so when he saw the giant mocking the name above all names, he's like, "What men are you doing? This man defies the name above all names." And so Saul tried to dress him in armor, and David said, "I don't need it, for if the name above all names is with me, I'll slay this giant like he be a dog, or a bear, or a lion." And so he went out into the field before that giant, and that giant mocked him. "Are you a boy who comes against me with a stick and a stone and a sling?" Now, David declared, "The glories of the name which he entrusted himself to in an act of worship," that he says in 1 Samuel 17:45, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin. Yes, indeed, you have made a name for yourself." For he was called conqueror. "But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you defiled." And in his worship, and in his entrusted hope, David slayed Goliath. If you read the scriptures, the theme, the desire for humanity within, which has been placed within his creation, has been God's intent, is that you make his glories known. Not merely acknowledge them or remember them. Worship is entrusting yourself to the name who can do things that which you could not do, and declare what he can do for those who entrust themselves to him. in the Old Testament. That is the theme. That is why I selected the pieces I did. And when you come to Jesus, you have the God who promised that he would come, incarnate himself amongst humanity, in which he would display the name of God visibly for everyone to see. Visibly. Hebrews 1:3, he is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds this one who came, the Son, the universe, by the word of his power. You don't have to guess. Just as you go out into creation and you go, only a God could create this, we must not have to guess on who the Messiah is. There is no other name, so God wanted us to recognize the name when he came. Just to fulfill 8 of the prophecies declared in the Old Testament. It is 1 in 10 to the 17th power, the possibility of the Messiah, of anyone to fulfill it. It had to be orchestrated by God himself, for he must be born of a virgin, born in the city of Bethlehem. And at his arrival, there must be a prophet who declares his appearance. This is why the Gospels declare the coming of John the Baptist, who prepared the way for the one who is the name above all names. And so, what's the point of Christ's life? As you read the Gospels, you come to this clear understanding that he is the name above all names. He is greater than Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's greater than Moses and of David, for they all spoke about this name to come. And so when he began his public ministry, the one who proclaimed the prophet, the appearing of the Messiah, baptized him. And when he came out of the waters, you know, as the Gospels proclaim, because God, like creation, wants you to recognize the name above all named, at that moment, open the heavens. Matthew 3:17, to be as clear as possible, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. What's the point? Not to merely acknowledge Jesus once lived, or to merely remember him as a historical man. No, these things have been recorded for us to know that he is the one to whom we worship. Satan himself, who has been able to deceive all humanity, go make a name for yourself. The Spirit of God drove Jesus out into the wilderness, and Satan came alongside Jesus and he said, worship me and all the nations will be yours. There's an easier way to fulfill the promises of Psalm 86:9-10. All the nations you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. And Satan, who wants to make a name for himself and those who have entrusted themselves to him, he calls Christ to do the same. And Jesus responds in that temptation, get behind me. Rather, Jesus said to him, 4:10, begone, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and in him only shall you serve. When you read the book of Matthew, why does the leper bow in worship? If you're willing, O Lord, can you cleanse me? And Jesus responds, not in rebuke towards this worship, but he says, I am willing. And so the lepers were cleansed and healed. when the disciples were out in the middle of a sea, fearing that they were going to die. They wake Jesus up because he's asleep. They say, "Jesus, you must do something." And Jesus stands up, rebukes the seas and the waves. And the waves and the sea and the wind ceased. And the disciples themselves reflected, "What sort of man, name is this that even the winds and the sea obey him when he taught? What's the point of his life? What's the point of God's creation? What's his point in working through no-name people like Moses, Isaac, Jacob, and you? What's the point? Not that you make a name for yourself, but that you recognize the name who is worthy of all glory, to whom you must entrust your life." And so when he taught, crowds were amazed, for he taught them as one who had authority. We make a name. He is the name. We try to gain authority. He is the one in authority. The point of his life and his power and his miraculous wonders, the profound wisdom that he displayed, is so that humanity, as they observe him, can say, "There's no other name." And people got it. Even during his life and ministry, men bring a paralytic to him. They can't get to him because he's in a room surrounded by people. So what do you do next? You open a hole in the roof. Don't do that at my house. What were they doing? They were entrusting the paralytic to the only one who could do something with this nobody who he couldn't even walk. And as he was lowered, Jesus looks at the boy, the man. He says, "Take heart. My son, your sins are forgiven." And the religious leaders who are observing this thing within the house, Matthew chapter 9, verse 3, some of the scribes said to themselves, "This man, this name is blaspheming." Why? Because only God can forgive sins. This is crazy. Verse 4, but Jesus, knowing their thoughts, "I don't even know what you're thinking now, but there is a name above all other names who does," responded, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier, to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise up and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority," not is gaining authority, "has it on earth to forgive sin," he said to the paralytic, "Rise, pick up your bed, and go home." Now notice, what was the response? Mere acknowledgement. This guy can do good things. Remembrance. We're going to move on now without him. No, when the crowd saw it, they were afraid, and they glorified God. That's the aim. Whom has given such authority, man? What was the purpose of the life of Christ and the ministry of Christ, the teachings of Christ, the miraculous wonders of Christ? Was so that you could worship him. What was the point of the cross? To recognize the incredible mercy and grace extended to those who make a name for themselves. Though God has given to man the right to make his name great, humanity has taken his creation and even other people, manipulated them to make a name for ourselves. And in the cross, we recognize the mercy and grace of God, in that not only he humbled himself, dwelt among us, As John 1:14 declares, the Word became flesh, He dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory as the only Son from the Father. How? By His grace and truth. Upon the cross, He voluntarily gave Himself up for those who make a name for themselves. And in His humility, He displayed the grace and mercy of God towards sinners. Philippians 7, 8, 2, verses 7, 8 declare, we're almost there. God, even though He had all glory, He emptied Himself by taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. The name above all names became a no name, so that all humanity could know there is one who is all powerful and more humble within all creation. Why did Christ die on the cross? For His name's sake. Creation declares His glories. The cross declares His grace and mercy. For He has done that which we would not do. Give up such a name, even that to the point of death, on the shame of a cross, for the purpose of His glorious grace. When the disciples saw the one who demonstrate the glories of His grace got up on that resurrection Sunday and appeared to the disciples, what did they do? They didn't merely acknowledge Him. They worshiped Him. Because God's aim isn't your acknowledgement or your remembrance of something He did once before, but rather His aim is to redeem those who have made a name for Himself and look at the person of Jesus Christ, who is the name above all other names, and declare, He has done that which no man has ever been able to do, and entrust yourself in worship to that name and that name alone. Our convictional response. It's Resurrection Sunday. We all do something. We can go home and we can see some of you again next year. God's not a gas station. You go to Him just to remember Him, like a phone booth. Or to go to Him like a gas station, only when you need Him. That is not God's objective for you. His objective is for you to recognize that He is the name above all other names that gives you your worth, value, and dignity. And that through Him and His promises, that you will not perish for misusing the Imago Dei, but recognizing through His mercy and grace that He has granted towards you as payment on the cross, that through repentance. What is repentance? Oh yeah, God, I have lived my life to make a name for myself, but You have created me to make Your name great. And through repentance, not acknowledgement, nor just a historical remembrance, but You have now responded in worship. I will now use the rest of my life to make Your name great. That's why we sing. Because He is the name above all name, and through our singing, we are declaring how great and awesome is Jesus Christ. For He will return one day, and He will show all the world that He is the name above all names. Psalms 86, 9, 10 was told long ago, all the nations you have made shall come. Brothers and sisters, we're not in Jerusalem. When that man rose from the grave and when the disciples worshipped him, it was to them he said, now make my name great. Make disciples who declare my name. We're in tri-cities. And indeed, that which Christ said would happen has happened. And the whole world today, what are they doing? They might be acknowledging God has done something. They might be remembering. The question I have for you and for us, are you worshiping? What is worship? Entrusting yourself to the one who is the name above all names. Repenting from making a name for yourself and saying, Lord, you are the name which now I live for. You get to make the rules. And by doing so, I know your name becomes great. Philippians 2, 9, and I close with this. God has highly exalted Christ and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name God wants to be glorified through the person of his Son, whom incarnated amongst us, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess, Jesus is Lord. The point to the glory of God the Father. Why did Jesus raise from the grave? For his name's sake. Make much of him today, but not just today, but for the rest of your life. And in doing so, you fulfill the divine standard placed upon humanity. Repent from making a name for yourself and submitting to the lordship of Jesus Christ, for his name is above all names, and through his name we find our hope. Let's pray.